Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started with tonight's regular board meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. Thank you all for joining on time. Today is Thursday, April 23rd. It is 6:03 p.m. And Rabbi Beliak, as our chair, can you please call the meeting to order?
Yes, good evening, everyone. At this time, I'd like to invite everyone to come to order and for our meeting to begin. And our normal procedures that we're going to call the roll.
As before that, I want to remind everyone that our meeting is being recorded, and with this being a teleconference meeting, please make sure you remain on mute so we don't hear information background noise. Thank you, everyone. And if you choose to do so, state your name before speaking. If you're a member of the public, you get you decide if you'd like to give your name. With that, I will go ahead and do roll call of our board members. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes, here.
Stepanel?
Here.
Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias? Mr. Orzov?
Here.
Mr. Dikbash? Okay, we have four board members out of six. Before we go to the approval of the agenda, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence. Our board member, Ms. Covarrubias, is unable to join. She has lost her grandfather in the last week, so we will do a moment of silence for her grandfather.
Hello. Stephen here from MSA Santa Ana.
We're in a moment of silence for the memory of Sandra Rubius's grandfather who passed away.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all. May his memory be for a blessing, and I hope that people will reach out to Sandra and offer condolences. I spoke to her shortly before the meeting, and she told me that he had passed because of the impact of the COVID virus.
Thank you, everyone. With that, we will move on to the approval of the agenda. If one of our board members would like to move to approve the agenda as presented. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll take votes for the agenda. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Stepanel?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash, I saw you just joined. We board members are voting on the agenda. Would you like to vote?
Voting to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Yes, I approve.
Thank you, Dr. Dikbash. So just for the record, Dr. Dikbash has joined us. Okay, next we have our public comment section. We did not have anyone do any speaker cards, but is there anyone on the line who'd like to give a public comment? Public comments? Our CEO and superintendent, do you have any updates, Mr. Rubalcaba?
Oh, good afternoon, board members, Magnolia family. At this time, I don't have any updates.
Thank you. We'll move on to approval of the minutes. So these are quite a few minutes that we've had since our last board meeting. So we can do it all in one motion. The motion is to approve the minutes from March 5th, regular meeting, March 13th, special meeting, March 20th, special meeting, March 27th, special meeting, April 2nd, special meeting and emergency board meeting, and lastly, April 17th, special meeting. Can I have a board member make a motion to approve all these minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve all the minutes as presented.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
Was that Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll take votes. Rabbi Beliak? Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Stepanel?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbusch?
Yes.
Thank you. All minutes have been approved. Next, we have our closed session. So the board members will go into that. If I can have Rabbi Belia greet the items that are in closed session as per the agenda.
Yes, we have five items. One is, of course, the announcement that we're going into closed session. We have a reinstatement issue and a discussion of the employment of our chief executive officer, conference on some legal matters, and a report that we'll give at the end about our discussion.
Thank you. With that, board members, I will send you the information for the closed session, and everyone else, you can remain on the line until open session is reconvened. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. We are back in open session of our regular board meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors, April 23rd. It is 7:36. Rabbi Beliak, do you have anything to report out from closed session?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Welcome everyone back to our open session. We had a number of issues that we instructed the staff about, and that they will report back to us. And we also had a discussion regarding the chief executive officer, and I will be in conversation through our Board on Track's report, which we'll submit and discuss with everything was very positive in our meeting.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. With that, we will move on to our action items. Again, as a reminder, our meeting is being recorded, and state your name before speaking. We will allow staff to present their item. Then we will ask for comments on each item, and then the board will discuss as we've done in the past. Okay, next item 3A, approval of Infinite Campus as the SIS system for all MPS. Our Chief Accountability Officer, Mr. David Yilmaz, will present. Mr. Yilmaz.
Good evening, Barbara. Good evening, board members and the public. Barbara, do you hear me well?
Yes, perfectly well. Thank you.
Okay. So I have been providing updates to our board on this item since December about our need for a new school information system. Next year will be our last year with Illuminate. So we have this RFP process going on since January. And I'm happy to announce that we have finalized our RFP and we are ready to make a recommendation to our board. After a lot of consideration and feedback from our RFP team, which consisted of about like 20 members from, you know, different backgrounds. We have found Infinite Campus to be the best candidate, SIS, that meets our needs and that will take Magnolia to a new level. In your report, you're gonna find the details why we are recommending Infinite Campus. You know, in short, they are a very strong SIS. They are also partners with Illuminate, which will make our data migration easier. It has a strong learning management system feature for our teachers with integration to Google Classroom and other tools. It looks like Infinite Campus will provide great support and PD to our staff, including on-site training. Infinite Campus, we have looked from the perspective of like parents, students, and teachers, the app, discipline, everything, you know, and it has really satisfied all of our team members. Infinite Campus integrates well with all the other softwares we currently utilize for enrollment, parent communication, and meals and such. Another great feature of Infinite Campus is that it is partnered with Tableau, which is a powerful analytics platform. Because as Magnolia, we use, you know, we make all our decisions data-based, and it will also serve as a data warehouse where we can, you know, progress, you know, monitor our progress. So that's another great feature. Price-wise, Infinite Campus was also at the lower end of the spectrum. So looking at all these, you know, criteria we had, in conclusion, we are recommending that our board approve Infinite Campus as Magnolia's new SIS. I have also invited Ashton Ferries, our representative, the representative from Infinite Campus, to talk to our board to introduce himself and Infinite Campus.
Yes. David, would you like for me to speak now?
The board members, are you okay with, that's what I thought that you would like to meet, you know, whenever we bring in
new members.
Okay.
Great, great. Well, first of all, you know, thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak, you know, about the selection of Infinite Campus. As David said, my name is Ashton Ferris, and I'm in charge of strategic market development with Infinite Campus. And David really kind of went over quickly the selection process, but it was a very thorough selection process as I was a part of it. You know, there was on-site demonstrations from vendors and numerous web demonstrations that proceeded after that. So we felt very lucky to be selected. From the school board's, you know, perspective, you know, what I could add more color to is, you know, maybe the top three reasons why we're a good fit for Magnolia from our perspective anyway. You know, as many of you are aware, this was a selection that had to be done by Magnolia Public Schools, right? There was the current vendor essentially end of life the current student information system being used. And, you know, first and foremost, you know, we're a very large and stable company. We are actually the second largest provider of student information systems out there today in America for K-12 school districts. We've been in business now for 27 years with the same leadership, same single product. So by far the most stable. So I guess in short, you won't be looking for a new SIS, or we won't be end-of-lifing our SIS anytime soon. You know, second, I think, is our support. You know, it's likely that when David and his team, you know, called references, they probably got good glowing reviews on support. We really strive to provide the best support to our customers long after the sales and implementation is over with. But, you know, 5, 10 years, 15 years down the road, our business model has always been customer retention. And lastly, I just think that, you know, we have a very robust and proven student information systems. You know, we have 6 states that use our student information system in every single school district, including next door in Nevada, Hawaii, Kentucky, you name them. And so I'm very excited to bring Magnolia Public Schools into the Infinite Campus California family, and I'm here to answer any questions if needed. Thank you.
Is that it, Mr. Yilmaz?
Yeah, unless the board has any questions for.
Before the board discusses, I'd just like to see if there are any public comments on this item. Okay, board members.
I have a question. Sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's a bit technical, but what type of or how much machine learning you guys are utilizing as part of your technology?
Yeah, so from a machine learning perspective, what we've the product that we released today that is very advanced is, in fact, I'm in the midst of redoing all of Nevada's funding, school funding, based off of it. But about 4 years ago, we started a program that we call Early Warning, and we did it in the state of Kentucky. So every public school district and school charter in the state of Kentucky uses Infinite Campus. And we started applying our machine learning algorithms against, you know, for lack of a better word, dropouts. And what we did and what our system does is rather than crunching numbers, it actually goes in there and looks at data patterns. And so we have 20 years of Kentucky data online accessible that we were able to actually go in there and, you know, look at the data patterns of students that the example I always give, I guess the simple example is this. You know, if you imagine my son for a minute, Dylan, I use him as the example on this to give more clarity to it. Imagine that Dylan had the perfect test scores. He had perfect attendance, perfect behavior. In any way you can measure Dylan, he was exemplary in every mark, right? You know, straight A's, anything you can think of. Most systems would say, you know, Dylan has 100% chance to persist to graduation. Our system may come back and say, hey, he's only got a 62% chance. Because what it's doing is it'll go out and actually look at every student from our national data set, not just the Kentucky that we started, but now our national data set, and said, you know, Dylan's a lot like these three other kids, you know, from the data model. And we found out with these other kids, they're actually so smart, they didn't even make it to graduation. They dropped out. And so that's where our machine learning has been focused mostly. And now it's going to, I won't bore you guys, but into engagement, you know, with virtual learning going on, you know, we call it the engagement score. How do we determine which students are actually engaged within their virtual learning? Very long-winded answer. I apologize.
That allows us to compare people over against the situation that students in the same basket as other students outside of, let's say, our system. And does, so that gives us a report that creates a way for us to track, you know, what school to send this person to, or I'm not sure what do we do with that information.
Yeah, so it's one of these things that it's much easier to show, but we call it the grad score, and it's a number between 50 and 150, and the higher that number goes to 150, the more likely a student is to persist to graduation. And so the algorithms behind it are too complex for the human mind to understand. Think of it as like a credit score. But what we do is we provide graphical interfaces where you can change the thresholds on the screen. You know, a counselor can have a set of 100 students. And what it will do is as the grad score drops, there might not be a visual reason for why that happened. You know, a grad score might drop based on a predictive algorithm. You know, you're predicting that student is gonna have an issue in the future. And so that typically is a, you know, a red flag pops up on the screen. The counselor might wanna bring that student in. You know, it could be a stability issue in the household. What the system tries to do is indicate problems before they're aware, right? When you start to see bad grades, bad attendance, that you're already well down the path, right? And so we try to use this system to look for problems before they might be normally, you know, front and center. And this is just one very small part, you know, the machine learning aspect is one very small part of the overall system, obviously.
Hi, we're having some disturbance on the line. I'm not sure what's going on. We're coming on and off the line. Does anybody understand what's going on?
Yeah, if we continue to mute when we are not talking, it might be part of it, I guess.
So could I ask people to mute if, unless you're supposed to be talking or want to be talking?
I think I just want to see how much you guys are involved in machine learning, and it seems that you are using it as much as possible to be able to provide more information and warnings about students like this, so we could take early action.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
This is Sardar. Can I go?
Yes.
I have several questions, actually. The first one is, I can see that in the implementation cost is attached the first year and second year. I was wondering why we are paying for implementation 2 years and not in the initial implementation year.
Sure, I can take that. When Illuminate Ed announced the end of life of their student information system, we created a program, we called it the 2-2 program. For the first 2 years, we cut our license price by $2 per student, and we also offered to split the implementation cost over 2 years. And the only purpose behind that was a lot of districts and charters were not prepared for this, you know, announcement by their current SIS vendor. So it was just something we did to help lessen the impact, the financial impact.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you. And then the other question is around the adding the license of the Tableau license in the third year. Is it for the same reasons we're just keeping to you know, control the cost for the license or the software overall, or is it for other reasons? Because I mean, if we have a, you know, mean to use Tableau in the first and second years, maybe we could think of, you know, purchasing it as well. I mean, what are we going to be using Tableau for in the first place? If it's something useful, why not we're using it in the first 2 years as well?
Yeah, I would say, you know, in the maybe the second year it would make sense. So there's two parts to that, and I don't want to steal David's thunder here, but he can add on to this. Typically, we add Tableau on in the second year or beyond. And the only reason being is we want to make sure that the system's in place. And, you know, keep in mind that the go live of Infinite Campus will be next summer, right? So the summer of 2021. Typically, we like to see districts, and it's not a hard rule, you know, we make exceptions to it all the time, but to make sure the data comes over from Illuminate accurately, that we've got good data in there. And so when we set up the dashboards and the data analytics, you know, they're being fed by, you know, reliable, accurate data. Everybody knows how to use the system, that kind of stuff. You can absolutely at any time move up the purchase of Tableau. You can push it back. That's all within your control.
I think my question was more to our staff, because I really want to know what are we going to be using Tableau for, and you know, if it's something useful. I mean, maybe we should consider using it earlier than that, as long as data is available, which I think we, even with the existing systems, we should have some sort of data in place.
Hi, Mr. Orozov, this is David again. We will still have 1 year of, I mean, actually 2 years of Illuminate data and assessment module. We have an agreement with them. So even when we move to Infinite Campus, we will still have Illuminate data and assessment for 1 year, which where our like current data is and we utilize it. So we will already have it in place. The reason we chose to add Tableau in the second year of Infinite Campus implementation is the reason Ashton, you know, stated. Like first year, we want to feel comfortable like moving all teachers, parents, students onto the system, integrating it with like other programs. It's going to be a lot of like learning curve for all of us. So we won't really have the time to really add another platform, you know, that will be very tough. So instead, we will continue to use Illuminate, not the SIS, but the data module. But in the second year of Infinite Campus, we will start using Tableau. So that's how we kind of planned it out. So if that's feasible and yeah, like really doable. But
great,
we have
thank
all
you.
Our
and lastly,
systems, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And the lastly, I'm looking at the price comparison table, and I have 3 years. Is it the 3 years starting with implementation 2021, or is it the 3 years starting 21-22?
So 2021, like next year, is our transition data migration and training year. And then there will be implementation years coming. In the report, you have 4 years, year one, year two, year three, year four. Year one is next year, the transition, you know, data migration year. And now you have 3 more years there in the report for implementation.
Got it, thank you.
Any other questions, board members?
So what happens to pricing after year three? This is to me.
So, yeah, Ashton, so the pricing looks fixed after year three. The license fee is fixed to $6 per student. Hosting is $1 per student. We also chose to add teacher LMS, like Google Classroom, all those features, $1. And then registration module, $2, adding up to $10 per student as a fixed license fee. And then there is a fixed ongoing support PD development fee. It's a $10,000 fixed fee. So it looks like a fixed amount, but our contract will be for 3 years. But Ashton, you can shed more light onto this. So I'm assuming, yeah, the fee goes on like that after year three.
Yeah, correct. An interesting fact about us is we've actually never raised our license price in the 27 years we've been in business. So, you know, hosting, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, you know, hosting could get more expensive over time. But we've been very good over the last 27 years to keep our license costs fixed. Now it's a per student price, right? So as, you know, the enrollment doubles, so does the cost, right? It's a per student price when David talks about those, that kind of overarching $10 per student cost. But, you know, in the 13 years I've been here and the 27 years we've been in business, those costs have remained the same, so.
Any other questions?
I'm glad that it's not a problem.
You should say that again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Rabbi.
I was just gonna make a comedic reference. At least there's one thing that seems semi-certain in the world at this time, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if that information is handy and available. I was wondering about how much we're paying to our existing system a year.
David, that's to you.
Our existing system, Illuminate, is about $7 per student per year. But and Infinite Campus will be $10 per year. But we also have the LMS feature added, which is not available in Illuminate. And then, as I said, Tableau is another great component, which will be, what was it, $3 or $4? Let me check. Tableau will be like $2. Ashton, you can correct me on this.
Yeah, I think I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, okay. David, for that, but it's roughly okay. About $2. Well, maybe yes. Just a little over, like in the $2.50 range.
And then, Mr. Orozo, we pay another $7 for Illuminate data assessment. So Illuminate is actually $14 per student because we use SAS and data, so it's $14. So even with the Tableau added, Infinite Campus will be a little bit cheaper price compared to Illuminate, and it is much stronger. I mean, I wouldn't really compare Tableau and Infinite Campus to Illuminate.
Got it, thank you.
Okay. You know, we invited our IT manager, some from the site, and also Mr. Monosher. We invited our academic team, principals, deans. That was a huge group of 20 people really looking from different aspects, including technical. It works on every platform, you know, every device. We also called the references in other states who spoke very highly about Infinite Campus. We had about like 5 hours of questions, you know, with them, 3 different times, checking all their reports, you know, office managers, home office, you know, so we feel very confident. We invited 4 major SIS companies in the US, and we really felt much comfortable with Infinite Campus, all their features, how it works, the support, you know, we feel very confident with this recommendation.
One other question, is it common to utilize full year for the implementation? Is it a common practice with, other softwares as well? For example, what we did with the Ultimate, or not the Ultimate, what is the existing system, whatever it is, I forgot the name.
For Illuminate, we also used 1 year as a transition. It could be less, but then it would be really stressful. Although you want to make sure all the data is migrated like accurately. You want to make sure all the other integrating software like integrate successfully. We want to test it, like we don't want to rush and stress anybody. So, we want it to be proactive and take 1 year. I think we could have done it like maybe 6 months ahead too, but we have all other things going on at the same time, so we really wanted to be proactive. And Ashton, you can give more info on this, on the transition. Like, is that typical 1 year or?
Yeah, you know, it's more than enough time. You know, the fastest implementation I've been a part of was Atlanta Public Schools with about 50,000 students, and we did that in 5 weeks. Now, that's not recommended, but we did it, and it's successful, and they're still with us today. You know, for your enrollment of about 4,000 kids, a year is more than enough time. You know, in fact, I just was on an implementation call this morning with Lemon Grove School District down in San Diego, about 3,600 kids. They're going live this summer. So absolutely enough time to do it and do it right. And, you know, the MPS team was ahead of the curve as compared to a lot of the other ISI, the you know, Illuminate Ed districts out there that are having to move by next summer.
Yeah, I guess the reason I was asking is I'm finding it a little longer than I expected. That's why I was asking and thinking maybe 6 months or, you know, might be enough for the implementation, which will in advance bring us, you know, half a year for cost savings.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I won't speak for David, but if that's what the decision was, you know, like a January go live would be possible from our end. You know, for your size district, we typically recommend 6 months. More time just gives you more options, really. And so.
Okay, would the board like me to read off the motion if there are no other comments or questions?
Can we entertain the idea of maybe shortening the time to 6 months so that we can save half the cost for a year? Because we're going to be paying for, I think, two software simultaneously for the same service. If it's not doable, then I'll, you know, I'm taking my comment back. But, you know, it looks like our rep is saying that that's a possibility, 6 months. I mean, even shorter. I mean, we don't want to go any shorter, but 6 months is half a year, half the cost.
Yeah, and to be clear, the first year license cost would be invoiced, you know, typically around May of, I don't want to get confusing with years here, but May of 21, typically due for a July 1 due date. So, you know, I don't know that there's cost savings. If anything, we can push back that invoicing. So I don't think there'll be a point when you're paying for both Illuminate Ed licensing and Infinite Campus licensing at the same time. What you will incur in the next fiscal year for sure is the implementation cost, at least the first year's worth of implementation cost. So I just wanted to point that out to the board.
So just to clarify, if I understood it correctly, in the implementation year for 2021, we're only paying for the implementation cost, we're not paying for the license?
Correct. You will get invoiced for the license towards the end of that, you know, school year, but it will not, I can make it not due until the July 1 date of 2021.
But at the end of the day, what we pay for would be for 21-22 then, right? In terms of the license portion would be. I see. Okay, no problem then. Yeah, it's super clear now. I thought we're going to be paying for the implementation period, the licensing cost as well.
No, we ask for a purchase order for all first year costs. We don't invoice the license until May 15th is typically the day all of our invoices go out. And they're typically, we try to standardize them all on a July 1st because that's what most districts want.
Yeah, that shouldn't matter. As long as we're paying for the year after, at the end of the day, that shouldn't matter. We can always book it as an accrued liability. We don't have to book it to 2021.
Yep, exactly.
But thank you for clarification.
Okay, should I read off the motion?
Please.
Okay, so the motion for item 3A is to approve Infinite Campus as the school information system for all Magnolia Public Schools.
Is there a motion, second?
Would someone like to move? Is that, are you moving?
I move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Diklash.
Dr. Yapanel, second.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel. Go ahead and take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Diklash?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Yilmaz. Thank you, Ashton.
I just said one comment. I would like to thank Mr. Yilmaz and the whole team for doing such a diligent job on selecting a good SIS for Magnolia moving forward. Thank you for your efforts.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the due diligence. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item 3B, approval of back office vendor selection. Ms. Montijo, our CFO, will present this item. Ms. Montijo?
Hi, good evening. Nanny Montijo, Chief Financial Officer. Staff recommends that the board authorize Mr. Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO and Superintendent, to sign the contract agreement with Delta Managed Solutions as the MPS back office service providers beginning July 1st of fiscal year 2021. We posted RFPs seeking firms for bids, and two service providers responded, and both providers were interviewed by the committee composed of the CEO, the CFO, an analyst, one of our principals, and a board member. The board agenda shows the comparison between the cost and the bookkeeping and the software used between the two agencies.
Board members, this is Sarah. This service provider will be providing our accounting and finance services. We've been working with this vendor for the last 2 or 3 years. And Annie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, right? 2 years?
We have 3 years, but 2 years, and then the 1 year.
Okay. So I participated at the interviews with the vendor, and I was able to get answered my questions. If you have any specific questions, the team and I could address those. This is a 3-year contract, as far as I remember. And the DMS current service provider was the lowest bid, and we have an established relationship with them. So, you know, if any questions, we're happy to answer.
Hi, this is Alfredo. Just real quick for clarification purposes, first I want to thank the team for participating in this process, and I want to thank both DMS and CSMC for obviously submitting bid and going through this process, and both definitely strong presentations, and the prices were similar because of the fact that CSMC obviously was willing to take on our Escape software system. It was something that for us, very happy with DMS and happy with the services they provide. And obviously we built a relationship with them and we want to continue that relationship and we want to continue getting better with our systems, and for that, just wanted to give that bit of information on just my behalf.
Any questions from,
I have a quick question.
I forgot to ask for comments from the public for this item, 3B, before the board discusses. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Diklash.
Yeah, my question is for second and third year, there's nothing, does that mean it's the same for second and third year?
Yes, it's 139 for ADA.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments from our board members? If not, I will read off the motion. Okay, the motion is to authorize Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO and Superintendent of Magnolia Public Schools, to sign a contract agreement with Delta Managed Solutions for MPS back office service provider. Would one of our board members like to move that motion?
I make the motion, this is.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Go ahead and take votes. Item 3B, Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanow?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dikbash?
Yes.
Thank you, the motion carries. Next, we have item 3C, approval to move forward with analysis of parcel sale for MSA 1 to the city. And we have our general counsel and facilities director, Mr. Patrick Ontiveros, presenting this item.
Good evening, board. This is Patrick Ontiveros, general counsel and director of facilities. This is a follow-up to previous reports I've made to the board. As you may recall, the parcel to the east of MSA 1 is owned by the City of Los Angeles. And as previously reported, the City of Los Angeles has been interested in building a skating rink on that parcel. They are moving forward with that plan, and they are now interested in a possible purchase of a strip of land from our parking lot which is the new parking lot that was approved in conjunction with the new construction. They are interested specifically in about a 25-foot strip of land, and this is after they were directed to do this explore this by their design team. And apparently, if they were to have this additional 25-foot strip of land, they could do a one-story construction as opposed to a two-story construction, which would be much more expensive. So, I've been reporting on this fairly consistently, I think, over the last year or so. In light of the pandemic, they wanted to make sure that we were still interested in doing this. And they want some kind of assurance about that interest in order to move forward with their design. So again, this isn't a authorization to proceed with a transaction with them, but rather it's simply a indication that we are still open to possibly entering into a purchase and sale with them. So that really is the purpose of this item, and the resolutions which are attached as Exhibit A to the board report reflect that. So what I'm recommending is that the board approve these resolutions so that the city can move forward with a design for their new facility. This does not obligate us in any way. It simply allows the city to move forward. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Before the board discusses, are there any comments from the public for this item? Item 3C. Okay, board members.
So I'm used to in real estate, if you receive a down payment or something, then that brings you into the possibility that you could be later on accused of backing off out of a deal. And that gets complicated. I want to know, do we have any legal responsibilities by passing something like this? Could they come back to us if we decided, I don't know, for some reason not to sell?
could they come back to us and sue us? I mean, I'm not thinking that we would want to renege, but I just want to understand our responsibilities by this resolution.
Sure. Sure. And again, there are still many open questions that need to be answered. We need to understand how this possible sale would impact our parking lot. And in that regard, we've engaged a design firm that have produced a site plan that kind of shows what the impact would be. To answer your question, this does not obligate us in any shape or form. This isn't even really a term sheet. That might be in some circumstances might be the basis for a dispute, but this isn't even a term sheet. All it is saying, hey city, we are open to the possibility of selling you a strip of land, assuming certain conditions are met, assuming the board approves it. So there are a lot of conditional language in this that protects us. So I'm confident, very confident, that this would not lead to any kind of action by the city against us.
Similarly, is there going to be an environmental impact study? I mean, I can't imagine that it would be a bad thing, but I assume that those things are done on sites like this.
That's a great question. Yes, since the city is the party that would be developing this project, the onus would be on them to produce whatever environmental studies may be required as part of this. So yes, I would expect that some kind of environmental study would be produced from this. I would expect at minimum a traffic study, but certainly other studies are definitely possible.
Can I ask, why does the city want an ice? I mean, I'm aware that there used to be an ice rink on Sepulveda between, I guess it was Culver Boulevard and just south of Culver Boulevard. Why there? What's pushing the project? Do you have any understanding? It's not really our business, but it would be interesting to understand, why not some other cultural activity or public library or something. I'm trying to understand. It's kind of an odd project, I would say.
Honestly, I don't, I'd have to go back and look at the record on this. Ever since I've been with Magnolia, I know that this has been a topic that's been discussed. I know at some point in the past, I think possibly the start of this came from some kind of collaboration with the Kings. And I know it may have, I don't want to say died, but may have been paused because the Kings, I think, withdrew their interest or support, but apparently
Patrick,
it's now. Yes,
this
yes,
is Mustafa. Can I help you out?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Please go ahead.
Okay, this is Mustafa Sahin. I'm the principal at MSA 1. So the idea of building icing came to the table, I think, around 1980 with Prop K money. State gave, I think, $2 or $3 million specifically to build an ice rink in Reseda. And then they put the money in the bank until Bob Blumenfeld became the council member. So he found out that money is now like $8 million. And there was a Prop K, what was the term that Patrick that they used for the facility or for the parcel that right adjacent to our school? CRA, yes.
All right.
Community Redevelopment Agency or something. So he had some money, and now he has a land, and he approached to King just to see if they were interested in partnering building Ice Ring. So when Caprice was our CEO, so they said, you know, I was in a meeting, I was in a committee meeting, and Blumenfield told me, and then I was like, yeah, I am, you know, we are also interested in. So then how we became part of that first initial discussion. So then they said they would like to take our parking lot. In return, they would build us a gym, part of the Ice Ring. That turned out that was too expensive. And then that deal was, you know, dead. And after 2 years, Park and Recreation, council member, Blumenfield's office, and King, they partner again. Now they kind of put all the thing together, so they are moving forward with the project. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
Are we going to get a gym? Sorry.
Hopefully. Not from them. But here's the thing, though. When they build the Ice Ring, since they're going to use Prop K money, in return, they have to open their doors to the public for free. So since we are adjacent to their property, so we will be the first client, hopefully. And then I also heard that King also wanted to start a league for high school ice hockey. So let's see, maybe in the future Magnolia will have hockey team and then compete with nationally. So hopefully that's the goal.
Hi, this is Patrick again. I just want to clarify. I don't think we're going to get a gymnasium out of this. That certainly has not been anything that has been suggested by the city to me, at least. What I have indicated to them, though, is since we're partners in all of this, we would want access to whatever they build during the school day, you know, so we would have exclusive access during the school day. And I also indicated that we would need to have, if they purchase a portion of our parking lot, obviously we would lose parking. So we would need them to provide us with additional parking at whatever parking lot they construct for this skating rink. So we're definitely emphasizing that, you know, we're interested in we're open to the idea of a sale, but there are also certain things that we would like to see come out of it that would benefit our kids as well.
Thank you. So are there any other questions people have?
Okay, I'll go ahead and read off the motion. This is Barbara. The motion is to direct staff to continue collaborating with the city and undertake any actions to make an investigation of the proposed purchase and sale. Do we have a board member who'd like to move?
Yes, so moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel. Go ahead and take votes. This is item 3C, Rabbi Beliak.
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel.
Yes.
Gonzalez.
Yes.
Orizov.
Yes.
Dr. Dickbush.
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. Thank you, Patrick. Next, we have item 3D, approval of MPS distance learning plans in response to COVID-19 pandemic. We have our Chief Academic Officer, Mr. Jar, presenting.
Good evening, Board of Directors, staff, and attendees. This is Arvind Chajar, Chief Academic Officer, Magnolia Public Schools. In front of you, I propose board recommendation recommending you to approve our distance learning plans in response to the school building closures due to the COVID-19 pandemic for the continuity of education. I'll be presenting our distance plans on behalf of our school teams and home office. As you are aware, we've been in close and open communication with the entire board, within the past several weeks with special meetings. And then we've been updating you on our development of the distance learning plans and the execution of it. So tonight, we're bringing in front of you our almost complete plans for approval. I'm saying almost complete because this is kind of a live document moving forward, this being a new chapter for all of our schools and our home office. We'll be continuously updating and communicating with you as well. The approval was requested by several agencies and authorizers, and we'll be submitting our approved distance learning plans after your approval. So as you know, Magnolia Public Schools are not distance learning or independent study schools. And this has been a game and a planning for us to bring all the resources and people together. Although we have years of experience in providing high quality education using the means of distance learning and independent studies, we needed to quickly deploy all of our resources and refer to our experiences from the past years. So I'm very proud with our school teams, our home office, that we did not have any interruption in education. Just unlike other school districts and other schools out there, we were able to quickly transition to emergency distance learning plans and then provide our students and families continuity of education. Because of the systems experience and people we have in place, specifically, we've been providing online courses in the past. We have all of our curriculum in digital format. We also have our single sign-on access streamlined and easy access for students and teachers to access those online resources. On top of that, we have a technology, a one-on-one is Chromebooks. And nowadays also providing hotspots for our students and families. I'm glad reporting that 99% of our students have access to device as of now, and over 94% of the students, they also have internet services, so they can follow with the digital learning, virtual learning. Noting that our school team members providing also non-virtual means of continuity of education. If you're not being on our website, I will strongly recommend go visiting our newly developed and designed website, plus our distance learning portal, where you can see lesson plans developed by our teachers. And accessible to everybody in public. So you can see weekly what our teachers are doing. And nowadays, we're tracking engagement, grading, and dealing with other aspects of distance learning programs. With that, I would like to summarize the events up to this point for the record as well. As you know, on March 13, 2020, the Board of Directors passed a resolution concerning measures to address the organization and education impacts of the COVID-19 virus. On the same day, we decided to shut down operations in our school sites, and with the plan of opening our distance learning and remote learning programs the next Monday, on the 16th. The very next day, the CD released their guidelines for distance learning. And then we had been since then developing our distance learning programs under the guidelines provided by the CDE, Town Office of Education, and other legislations and recommendations. So in front of you is our distance learning plan, is the attachment, and then that includes both virtual and non-virtual means of providing education. We're committing to providing high quality distance education with the proposed curricular strategies, and again with the recommendation and guidance from CDE and other agencies. So the distance learning plan in attachment is a very comprehensive plan that includes expectations for admins, teachers, students, and parents. It outlines the proposed curricula, the standard-based and high-quality curricula. It talks about our instructional methods, including the tools and pedagogy and access points. Excuse me. It also provides guidance and regulations in terms of assessments, grading, attendance, graduation, the engagement, how we're tracking and making sure students are engaged and how we monitor that. It also addresses students with IEPs and 504 plans, our EL learners, with schedules for teachers, students, and parents, and this plan has been in implementation, and we had several stakeholders helping in the development and execution, including again the school teams. We were refining these plans and made them fit into our local context, because not all of our schools are serving the same communities, and therefore our plans are sort of flexible, and schools are putting their local context. And again, with the understanding that this is a new for all of us. And we'll be improving the plans and execution. So nowadays, as I said, we're monitoring the implementation in terms of the attendance, student engagement, and grading. We have some other challenges in front of us, graduation and commencement and summer schools. Also, how we are going to reopen our schools after this pandemic and social distancing requirements are lifted. So these are some of the challenges in front of us. With that, I'm concluding my presentation and turning it to Barbara.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Is there any public comments on this item? Item 3D. Okay, we open it up to our board.
I just want to say, first of all, this is a tremendous effort on your part, and I'm impressed that in a relatively short amount of time you've been able to put this together. Thank you. I'm wondering if it, not tonight, but perhaps at some point, you might reflect with us about what have been the challenges doing this. It's one thing to develop curriculum, it's another thing as you then see how it plays out. But thank you for your incredible devotion to getting this off the ground. And I think both teachers are used to doing things one way, and now they're being asked to do things in another way, and it's a big job. Thank you.
I accept it on behalf of my teams and school teams as well. So it's been, again, a collective effort. Lots of challenges, lots of discussions. We've had a meeting starting 2 p.m. ending 6 p.m. with all team members helping, providing feedback. So certainly we put some tears and sweat on this. So and then we're proud of the product, and hopefully it will be a great transition for our students, and we'll see the outcomes at the end of the school year.
This is Edgar. I would like to join Rabbi Beliak in thanking our staff for taking this initiative and making it possible. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I would like to hear, I know it's a whole new thing for our staff, and it's a new challenge for our staff, and it's something we're learning along the way, but it is so for the parents. And I was wondering if you could briefly talk about what are the measures we're taking to educate, provide guidelines and resources to the parents.
So the very first thing we came up with distance learning is guides for students and parents, because this is a new shift, and this is adding on top of everything they do. So we provide our parents a specific schedule and the expectations in terms of the distance learning environment. And that was the very first thing to do. Then with help of our communication channels, we've created trainings for and guides for parents as well. As you know, as part of our distance learning program, we ask teachers to go live and provide meetings, live sessions, Zoom meetings, that's a training by it requires some training by students and parents as well. So from that perspective, we provided guides for parents how to help during those live sessions, helping kids log in and also our school specifically kept close contact with parents, getting their challenges in terms of the access to curriculum, access to technology, distribution of the Chromebooks, and nowadays distribution of the hotspots. It's always one of the features of Magnolia. Parents are the integral part of our communities, and we're keeping them informed. We update them almost every week with the developments, including the grading, the graduation plans, the attendance tracking and engagement. So those type of communications are happening. Nowadays we're developing a survey, a new survey on top of the surveys that our parents, students, and teachers took. We're interested in getting a meaningful feedback from our students and parents in terms of their engagement and challenges, and then take it as an organization, how we can make any more changes and improvements in our distance learning programs. And this is on top of this course, regular communications with parents. Going virtual helps in some cases, that now we have more parents and guardians joining our virtual coffee with principals, our parent teacher task force. So from that perspective, we increase our communications, and we are even closer in touch with our parents.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think well, we can we did a good job in putting put together a plan and curricula. Now it's time to having the parents engaged and involved if you want it to be successful. Thank you.
I just want to say that I've been reading about the difficulty of implementing this kind of a project, and I think one of the things we need to do when we get around to bragging a little bit is not so much bragging, but sharing what our experience is and so forth, because I think it's commendable as an example of what can be done when people work in the way that you have. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, if there are no further comments, I will read out the motion. Thank you, Mr. Ajar, for your presentation. So the motion is to approve Magnolia Public Schools distance learning plans in response to the school building closures due to COVID-19 pandemic. Would someone like to make a motion? I mean, move that motion?
So moved, this is Ajar.
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov, and thank you, Dr. Dikbash. I will take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. Next, we have item 3E. Approval of Paycheck Protection Program. It'll be presented by our CFO, Chief Finance Officer, Ms. Montijo.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Nanny Montijo, Chief Financial Officer. staff recommend that the board approves the Paycheck Protection Program loan applied through the Citibank in the amount of $5,461,600. The CARES Act has created this product called the PPP in a form of forgivable loans to small businesses and nonprofit corporations. The terms is going to be a 2-year term at 1% annual interest rate. And the purpose is to ensure continuing employment of employees of small businesses and nonprofit corporations. Thank you.
Any comments from our public before the board discusses? Okay, board members.
Thank everyone who was responding to this. This comes as a very important contribution to making our employees and our other responsibilities easier to meet. And, in a crisis like this, we are, of course, working on the issues that are right in front of us, but this will help us with things that we don't know yet, but a very important achievement. And thank our staff and everyone who was so diligent.
Yeah, this was a highly competitive program. I would like to thank our staff and DMS back office provider as well. taking the proactive action and in taking the initiative to apply early on and getting it approved.
Thank you. If there are no other comments or questions, I will read off the motion. Okay, the motion is to approve the Paycheck Protection Program loan from Citibank in the amount of $5,561,600.
I can make the motion. This is Cedar again.
Thank you, Mr. Rizov.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Go ahead and take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Yapanel?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orzov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Thank you. Item 3E, the motion carries. Next, we have item 3F, approval of board member appointment recommendation from nominating committee. So this item went to the committee on April 20th, and it was approved by the committee. Our committee chair for that, for the nominating and governance committee, will present, and that is Dr. Yapino.
Good evening, everyone. As most of you know, the term for Mr. Galdier has ended in March. We would like to thank him for all his contributions and continued dedication to Magnolia family. And we needed to fill out the empty seat for our school in Santa Ana. Per our bylaws, we require that we have at least one board member from each county that we have a school. And Mr. Galdiev has recommended Mr. Mekan Muhammedov as a potential replacement for him, which nominating committee has considered. During the process, Mr. Muhammedov submitted all the application, including his resume, cover letter, and the official application form. And as nominating committee, two members from the committee, Rabbi Beliak and myself, has conducted a phone interview with him for about 1.5 hours, where we included a scoring of our evaluation into the package, and was impressed with his knowledge, expansive knowledge of finances, real estate, and especially his memory or institutional memory of Magdalena's history. And as the committee, we are basically recommending his approval to the empty seat for Santa Ana. I think he might be on the line. If you would like him to introduce himself shortly, that's a possibility. Or if you have any questions for him, that's also a possibility.
Before we open it up to the board, is there any member of the public who'd like to give a comment on this item? We are on item 3F. Okay, board members.
Is he online? Are you here, Dr. Mr. Muhammedov?
I'm here, Dr. Yapino. Thank you.
Okay. Could you introduce yourself just a few minutes?
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Yapino, dear board members, the Magnolia staff and the attendees. My name is Mekan Muhammedov. I graduated from California State University with a bachelor's in politics in 2010 and master's in politics and government in 2013. I joined Magnolia in 2004, end of 2004, beginning of 2005 as a volunteer, and stayed at Magnolia all the way to 2014, where I held different positions as business manager, finance director, and chief financial officer. Since 2014 to 17, I managed my family construction business in Dubai and my home country of Turkmenistan. And since 2017, I have my own financial and real estate investment firm with a restaurant. So I am an entrepreneur and investor since 2017. I was gracious enough, or I should say lucky enough, to be part of Magnolia in the past, and submitted my application upon request by Mr. Galdiev, whom I worked with at Magnolia for several years, and submitted my application with joy. So here I am.
Board members, any comments, questions?
So I just wanted to say that I was part of the committee, and just the conversation was very significant. Mr. Muhammedov brings a lot of institutional memory, as our board member Umut said, and I think we will benefit greatly from having him as part of our board.
Yeah, this is Sardar. I had the privilege to work with Mr. Mohammedov at Magnolia, and I'm confident that he'll be a value to Magnolia board. Thank you for considering the being part of Magnolia.
Yeah, I have a question. I think it's nice to virtually meet you. And I have been going through your resume. It seems that you have quite extensive experience in construction real estate. I think one question I have is, it seems, based on your involvement with business, like, would you have time to basically contribute to, since you are applying, I guess, I'm assuming that's the case, but how are you going to manage that? It seems you are very busy with your work and...
Yes, absolutely. The question came up during the interview with Rabbi Eliak and Dr. Yapanel as well. Yes, after Magnolia, I did have a privilege and chance to get into construction business and real estate internationally. That expanded from my home country to Dubai to Italy. I would be more than happy to bring my expertise. And I would be more than happy to provide board with the information that we are provided with. And the fact that I was involved in the Prop 1D process of Santa Ana and MSA 1 for that matter, for my last couple years at Magnolia, I do have a knowledge of what was expected of us. And once I am accepted to board, I will have better chance of understanding where we are at now. And again, I'm sure I followed Magnolia throughout. The tremendous things have been done. There is more to be done, and I would be more than happy to provide board with as much information expertise that I have. I would be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, thank you. It seems that based on your, I guess, expertise in business development, finance, construction, I think we had some of the skills, but some of them definitely we had some need. I think it's great that you'll be able to complement those, especially in construction.
It was my pleasure.
Like before, we had some other board member, but now she's not longer with us. Yeah, thanks for considering contributing your time for this effort. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay.
Yeah, so this is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, Superintendent. Just on behalf of the Magnolia team and community, want to say welcome back, Makan. I'm glad that you were able to find the path forward back to Magnolia. Obviously, feel that we're going to continue doing great things, and I'm glad that you will be part of us. So welcome back.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alfredo. And again, during the interview with Rabbi Beliak and Dr. Yapanel, I said that, we were with Alfredo when MSA 1 had 259 students, you know, and it grew all the way to 4,000. Again, I'm glad to be back if I'm, of course, considered and approved. Absolutely. Glad to hear.
Thank you. So the motion would be to accept the recommendation of the MPS Nominating Governance Committee to appoint Mr. Makan Mohammedov for a 5-year term from April 24th, 2020 to April 23rd, 2025. Would a board member like to move that motion?
I can move the motion. Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Okay. Gonzalez.
And I can second that Dennis nominated committee members.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel. I'll go ahead and take votes. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Orozov?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
The motion carries, and welcome, Mr. Mohammed.
Thank you. Good
to have you.
Welcome on board. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Okay. And next we have our last action item, approval of CEO metrics and evaluation measures. Rabbi Beliak, do you have something to present on this item?
Simply to say that we have going to respond to these issues, and I would like to invite conversation. I hope that everyone has had the chance to read closely this. It's a pretty daunting set of reports, and I think we need to read them carefully. And I think it's important that we spend some time with this. I don't know if tonight will be the night that we should go through it, but I want to thank everyone in terms of this activity, and it will allow us to then communicate with our CEO and with the staff about suggestions and so forth.
Okay, so with that, there's no motion. We're bringing this back next month. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, any objections? Okay, so there's no motion or action for item 3G. Okay, that is the end of our action item. So we'll move on to our information and discussion items. 4A, 2019-20 MPS stakeholder survey results and reflections and public feedback to inform ALCAP. We have Mr. Yilmaz, our Chief Accountability Officer, will present.
Good evening again. This is Mr. Yilmaz, Chief Accountability Officer. As usual, we administered our stakeholder surveys in February, and then we analyzed our results in March with the school leadership teams. You have a long report in front of you with many data points. Since I cannot present visually, this is just through the phone, I don't really want to take much of your time with those numbers. I just want to highlight 9 data points really quickly. One is about participation. In your report, you see 5-year trends for survey participation. You're going to see that our students, 96% of them participated in the survey, staff 98. So almost all of our students and staff participated. Families 85%. And this is really big considering, you know, all those paper surveys and in English and Spanish and collecting and mailing, you know. I really want to congratulate our schools. I don't know if there is any other, you know, CMO or school out there that has such high participation rates year over year. I'm very proud. In terms of approval rates, based on all the questions on the survey, and we use the core district survey that most large districts in California use, the same survey, and our students, we had 66% approval rating on the survey questions. It's an improvement from last year by 3 points. Our target is 70 points, and just know that, you know, students are more critical, so it's hard, but 66% approval by students, 95% approval by parents, 94% approval by parents, and 85% approval by our staff. Our staff, last year we had 80, this year 85% approval based on all the questions. So this is really a great improvement on approval rates. Last piece of data I will highlight is about satisfaction and recommending the school to others. So 76% or 3/4 of our students would recommend the school to their peers. 93% of parents would recommend it to other parents. And 89% of our staff recommends Magnolia to other educators. Last year it was 85. Again, that's an improvement. So on all fronts, we have improvements on our rates. So we really need to celebrate. Of course, we check each question one by one, you know, which questions were rated highly or low. So school teams analyze them. And then we had 1-hour meetings with each school, where the home office summarized survey results for the school. We had 3 responses on the survey. What do you like best? What do you like least? What do you suggest for the school? And here, you know, at a board meeting, you know, publicly, I want to say we truly care about everything our stakeholders wrote in the surveys. We take it to the heart. We read them line by line. And then, as I said, we analyze it with our teams. HR team reads all staff responses. Academic team reads all of the family responses. Then as a team, we look at the high points, low points. And at the end of the day, we produce our goals, growth, and next steps. What are we strong in? Where do we need to grow? And what specific actions are we going to take? So in your report, you're going to see a reflection report from each school of all these highlights and next steps. And all of these are going to feed into the school's LCAPs. It's going to impact their actions in the LCAPs. They're going to budget accordingly. So this is part of the LCAP development process. I have asked two principals to be ready for this agenda to present their, you know, the overall process and then their highlights and next steps for you. If you don't have much time, I know it's been 3 hours, we could go with only one principal. The other could be a backup, so it's really up to you. But I want to start with, MSA 7. So Megan, if you are ready, go ahead with your reflection.
Hi, good evening, board members and members of the public. This is Megan Wittick, school principal from MSA 7 Elementary in Northridge. I was just going to go ahead and share some takeaways and a little bit about our process with the stakeholder survey program this year with our school site. So we were proud to have 99% participation rate from our families. This effort was a school-wide effort. Links were sent to them via email and the Parent Square app. We continued to send the links once a week with reminders and announcements that were also posted on Facebook and Twitter. We, in addition, sent the paper surveys to families for those that couldn't access it online. And the students whose parents completed the survey were invited to a special movie party, but in the end, we ended up inviting all the students to attend. For our students, only third through fifth grade take the survey due to the age of our younger students. It's a little bit advanced for them. We did give them some support with going over directions and the purpose and letting them know that this was kind of the beginning of their role as responsible citizens. And this is quite a privilege for them to get to share their feedback and their opinion and ask for things that they need from their school and their teachers. So we had 98% participation from our students. And then for our staff, we had 90% participation. They were sent the surveys and reminded to take those. So after we received all of the results, like Mr. Yilmaz mentioned, as a school administration team, we went through all of the data and the three responses, and we pulled out and identified our glows and grows according to the highest response rate. So a couple of those glows that I'd like to highlight that we were really proud as a school site was repeatedly, we just kept hearing from students, families, and staff that we care and that we love our students and we welcome our families and there's inclusion for all. It's a small supportive family environment and a team. So that was something that we were really happy to hear. Some of our grows, continued need for facility repairs and growth. We've kind of outgrown our space. So, we're continuing to have those conversations. Lots of feedback about the school meal program. So that's something we'll be looking into. And then issues with our parking lot and valet program. So those were some of the most highlighted rows. We took this information and we started putting our action plan in place, which of course will inform our LCAP. So that's the next step in the process. So looking at each of those grows and coming up with an action step, for example, the facility need for repairs and more space. I'll continue working with home office and Patrick on those types of conversations and projects, looking at maybe some meal school meal improvements, and just going through and really seeing what is in our control and what we can do something about, and then using that information to prioritize our goals and our funding and our LCAP and budget development. So the overall process of this, as it was mentioned, is obviously beneficial for school sites. If we don't get feedback from our stakeholders, what are we doing this for? So it's really important that we do take it to heart and we listen to what they have to say. So we really took our time as an administration to look at the analysis, to pull out the most important information. We had our meeting with Home Office staff on April 7th and went through all of that information and talked about our next steps. We will now do the next roll of that and have our virtual stakeholder meetings with our parents via school site council and PTS, and then a staff meeting. When we return to school, we would like to have some in-person conversations with the students to really talk through some of their feedback. And then all the information that comes from these stakeholder meetings and feedback on the overall data that we receive will be used to inform our LCAP budget and action plan development for 2020-21. So overall, that's kind of in a quick nutshell what we did at MSA 7 for our stakeholder surveys this year.
Thank you, Megan. Dear board members, we have two other principals on the line, John Terzi from MSA 6 and Gokhan Sirs from San Diego, really depending on your time if you wanna hear, or otherwise, you know, it's really up to you. We respect your time.
I would like to suggest that if they would take about the same amount of time, it would be important for us to hear from them. And if they have anything to add about the current situation, I would appreciate hearing from them as well.
Okay, Mr. Terzi, if you are ready, we can take you. Otherwise, yeah, Gokhan.
Hello, good evening, board members and the public. This is John Terzi from MSA 6. I can quickly mention about our survey reflections. So first of all, thanks to Home Office for supporting us for the surveys and all the follow-ups. So for MSA 6, we had 100% student participation, 89% family participation, and 100% staff participation. And when we look at the satisfaction rates, we had 68% student, 99% family, and 95% staff satisfaction. As David said, students were more critical. If we look at the GLOWs, growth, and the next steps for GLOWs, definitely welcoming and safe, positive learning environment for MSA 6. All stakeholders mentioned about that. Small school and class size with a family atmosphere, caring, highly motivated and supportive teachers and administration, personalized and quality instruction, and strong communication from and within the school. These are GLOWs for our school. If we look at the growth, so our stakeholders, they mentioned about improving campus. They also mentioned about improving our PBIS system and providing more social emotional support, increasing campus security, increasing enrichment classes, and offering programs such as art and music, improving after-school program, and focusing on marketing for our enrollment issue. Suggestions or next steps. So I would like to continue developing and implementing PBIS strategies and continue having recognition assemblies monthly and rewarding students and using positive reinforcement for our middle school students. Working with a new custodial company or adding a new custodian for next school year to keep the campus clean. For security, we will add more security cameras and provide more supervision. And we'll look into our budget to see if we can add music and art classes for our school. And definitely we'll focus on more enrollment all year round campaign. And we'll reach out more families, sending postcards and having more community events. These are some highlights for MSA 6. If you have any questions, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Terzi. And Gokhan Sirs and his team are doing excellent work in San Diego. So we could get a really short update from you, sirs, if you are available.
Good evening, board members. and public. Thank you, David. I would like to keep it really short. Number one, the participation rate this year at our school on an average increased 8%. Although our family participation rate is 64.9, it is less than the Magnolia-wide average. This year we had a 9.5% increase compared to last year, so, and we met our 60% target. The second big number in our survey results is the satisfaction rate. When we look at the satisfaction rate, student satisfaction rate increased 16% to, and now it is 80% student satisfaction. Family satisfaction rate increased 3% and is now 95%. And staff satisfaction increased 17% and it is actually 100% staff satisfaction. I think this is our first year having that. And when we look, when we actually deep dive to the survey, of course, I mean, we can talk about a lot of positive things, but one of the things that we noticed is the student sense of belonging, school connectedness component, there was a significant decrease, an 11% decrease. And once we go over the data, we realize that, I mean, with the parents and staff, that actually increased, but with the students, there's a decrease. So we are going to actually discuss this with our students now that we are doing a lot of Zoom meetings with our students. That will be one of the topics that I will have in my next Zooming with Principal Search meeting. Now, a couple of things that I want to share about some future actions that we need to take. Yes, I mean, we provide a lot of electives, small schools, kids love teachers, friends, and the quality program, but there are still certain things that we need to implement. Number one, we are really short staffed, and to do that, based on the feedback, we really need additional support staff and custodial staff and office staff. We want to continue to implement MTSS and finish the third year. And we need a lot of SEL support for our students, especially now with the school closures. Actually, it is, it will be more important. As I said in the last board meeting, there is a huge need right now for our students to interact with their peers. And as a result, we are adding more live student engagement time. So next week I'll be doing grade level meetings with the students only, and then students will be into groups to discuss and chat with their friends so that like they can close that gap, in a way, the emptiness that they don't have right now, that friendship component. But comparing and putting all the information together, there's a huge need. I know this from me maybe a million times right now, but facilities, facilities, facilities. We still did not finish the phase three of the facilities, so we still need the sinks, classrooms, science classrooms, arts, and the teacher's lounge component. And we still did not close the facility project at all. It's not complete yet. And also the restrooms are really bad, and we tried to make some changes, but with the latest approval from Mr. Patrick, we will be repairing and improving some of the restroom component during summer so that we will meet the needs of our, we will meet the needs of our students. And just since the board president asked how is everything going right now with this situation, we are actually busier than before. So we have full schedule all day, meeting with the parents, prospective parents, our students, and making sure that we give them the answers that they need as much as we can. Academically, we don't see that there's a huge problem about providing the content, but still, with everything going on, we know that there are also already some research coming out that there will be an achievement gap. And I'm hoping that, I mean, once this is over, we will have a plan to make sure that we support our students more. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sears. To conclude this item, I just want to say that all these highlights will be in the school's LCAP, impacting our actions and goals, and also in the stakeholder engagement section. By each stakeholder group, we will provide the highlights. Before I conclude, Barbara, this action, I mean, this item also serves as like public input for our LCAP. So if there is anybody out there from the public who wants to make a comment, we need to take it. Otherwise, I'll be done with this item unless the board has further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Yuma. So at this time, we open it up to the public. Any public comments on 4A? Okay, board members, any comments or questions?
Just thanks to our principals, and we understand that they're working under very difficult circumstances. I'm glad that they're looking forward to the needs of their students and the current needs as well.
Thank you, principals. Thank you, Mr. Yomas. We'll move on to 4B, academic update, will be presented by Mr. Erdinch Ajar, Chief Academic Officer.
Good evening, board members, staff, and attendees. Again, this is Erdinch Ajar, Chief Academic Officer, Magnolia Public Schools. I'll be updating you on the academics in our schools and organization quickly. As you heard from my presentation on distance learning plan approvals, we're right now doing distance learning in our schools. And by doing that, we're trying to replicate all of our school functions to the extent possible, including the meetings, just like I mentioned, the virtual coffee with principals, and task force meetings being online and with increased participation. And thanks to the Zoom, all of the other meetings are also online, including principals, teams, grade level, department level, professional learning committees, and other staff meetings. Our teachers continue providing, I call the education, using the distance learning tools and pedagogies by adding their week at a glance on the distance learning portals. They do live sessions, they do daily check-ins with students, and they report on student engagement twice weekly. They provide office hours and contact parents and students in need. As part of our distance learning plans, we also have mentors in our schools as added a layer to check in with students and parents to intervene as needed. Mr. Searce mentioned, the social emotional needs are increased at this time of unprecedented things happening in our communities. We are in contact with our counselors and psychologists, and they are available to provide the social emotional support, and they do regularly collaborate with Gen Ed teachers as well. To the extent possible and to the best of our ability, we continue providing special education services and programs. Our space teachers are doing virtual meetings. We've trained them on that, and they are following up with the students' progress goals and then provide services online. Again, as Mr. Searce mentioned, it's increased need nowadays that the social interactions and then having the highest spirit in our schools. As part of that, we see our schools providing doing spirit weeks, offering clubs and other virtual social events. In addition to our after school programs, also doing their programs online with communication with parents and students. So these are going on. We still have challenges, as I mentioned, regarding graduations, commencement, summer school, and summer trainings. We're figuring out the best way to conduct those. We're brainstorming nowadays, when we open, how we'll open, and then how the new normalcy will look like. So that's going on in our conversations. Amidst all of these, we hear great things coming from our schools, just like nowadays, college acceptances are coming in. we recently heard our beloved board members, Sandra Corbis's son getting accepted in UCLA, along with other students that you have in our schools, you know, getting accepted in UCLA and other higher education institutions. So that's great to hear. Just recently, a few days ago, we heard from U.S. News and World Report that three of our schools are ranked in the high top, especially kudos to our MSA 3 school, Magnolia Science Academy Carson, placing in second top high school among Los Angeles County Office of Education sponsored high schools. Our Magnolia Science Academy 2 Mustangs, they placed fourth best high school in LACO as well. As well as we have our MSA 4 Venice School ranked in the top 13% in the nation. We're figuring out why our MSA 1 is not listed. According to our data, it should be listed. And we contacted them, we'll update you on that as well. But we're happy to share this great news with you. In addition to that, we have our home office team members working and supporting the schools and teachers. We're planning our next coming virtual PDs, our coordinators, directors supporting the teachers and the school admin teams with the guides, protocols, resources, activities, conducting meetings, participating in school teachers' sessions, live sessions, and providing them meaningful feedback. Specifically, our SPED teams are working hard to deliver the services to our students, by holding virtual meetings and monitoring the SPED activities. We are developing again surveys to get meaningful feedback on distance learning, and we'll be happy to share the feedback coming from our parents and students on how we are doing. As a great news that you will see that we have a new looking website right now. It's all updated with the recent technology, thanks to our director of development, Mr. Soto, and the team. He is also regularly communicating with parents using Parent Square, updating them on the recent developments and guides and resources that we get from county, from the health department, from community resources. As you might have seen, our school MSA Santa Ana got televised in the news, with food bank, distributing, thousands of food packages. We do have an LA Times article, one of our teacher being from MSA 7, Ms. Elizabeth, as portrayed as being a great teacher at home. And then with the help of the community engagement, three of our high need parents were able to get food and monetary compensation with our partnership with One Family LA, about $15,000 so far. So our school functions continue. We're meeting and monitoring our activities proactively and trying to make use of this time with better, improved communications and plan for the reopening of our schools. So those are my updates. I'm turning it to the board members if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Before board members, do we have any public comments on the academic update? Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments from our board members? Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Next, item 4C, facilities updates. Mr. Ontiveros had to jump off. He was going to give a verbal update, so he will go ahead and write up a report, and we will send it via email and post it on Board on Track for everyone to have access to that. Next, 4D, Schoolability as Sole Service Provider for Financial Software. Ms. Montijo, our CFO, will present.
Hi, good evening again. This is Nanny Montijo, Chief Financial Officer. This item is an information item for the board to inform the board that we are contracting with Schoolability as a sole service provider of Escape Financial System software. Attached is also a letter signed by our CEO and superintendent approving to consider Schoolability as a sole service provider for our financial system. Schoolability is also gave us a portion of their contract to prove that they have the sole, the exclusive contract that no other vendor, including Escape, has the right to sell the software in the areas below, which is Arizona, California, Nevada, and New Mexico.
Thank you, Ms. Montijo. Any comments from the public for item 4D? Thank you. Board members, any comments or questions? Okay, thanks. Item 4E, audit contract with Ed Bailey for fiscal years 2021 and 2023. Again, Ms. Montijo.
Hi again. This is also an information item awarding the audit contract to Ed Bailey for fiscal years 2021 to 2023. An RFP was posted. An RFP was posted and two vendors submitted their bids. One is Ed Bailey and the other is Moss LLP. So based on the criteria, the pricing, and then the years of experience as listed in the agenda, we are going to award the audit contract to Ed Bailey for the next fiscal years. For the next three fiscal years.
Thank you, Ms. Montijo. Any comments from the public?
Wait. This is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO. I just wanted to add that we didn't go through the regular bidding process because of the fact that, you know, this did happen during the pandemic, as soon as the pandemic hit. So we did make a decision to obviously utilize the executive powers that the board, you know, authorized or gave me to take during these circumstances. So that's why we did circumvent this bidding process and did go ahead and select Ed Bailey.
Thank you. Any comments from our public? Board members, any comments or questions? Okay, thank you. Our last item for tonight is 4F, finance update, and the agenda says February financials, but it's the March 2020 financials. Ms. Montijo?
Hi, I have Carl on the other line, and he will take this up.
Yes, can you hear me okay? This is Carl Yoder.
Yes, thank you.
So for the March financials, I'll summarize them briefly. The school is on track, in fact, doing a little bit better than budget. The revenues of $40.637 million are a little below the year-to-date budget, but that's due to normal timing variances, and we anticipate that returning to budgeted levels. On expenditures, the year-to-date is about $1.16 million below where we think it would be at this point in the year. The expenditures of $37.9 million are about $1.16 million low. This may catch up in the final couple of months, but Nanny and DMS and our teams will be monitoring that closely. We'll have another update next month to see whether that's a true budget savings or whether the trending has caught up and we're going to end closer to where we originally budgeted. The one thing I did want to point out, and we mentioned this to the board following the audit in January, at the January meeting, we'd started including a comparison to the bond covenants. The bond covenants are the tests that we have to meet at the end of each fiscal year. So one of the things we started including in the monthly update is how is the school doing in meeting those bond covenants? Are you on track? Are you not on track? That's on page 374 of the board packet. Everything is on track for cash flow and for debt service coverage, with the exception of San Diego, that's trending to end up about $66,000 under its debt service coverage ratio. What that means is, to meet the coverage ratio, San Diego would need to either spend $66,000 less or have $66,000 more in revenue. And that should be something that we take care of in the final months of this fiscal year, so that by June 30th, we'll be able to hit that debt service coverage test. But again, I don't see a problem in being able to do that, but we do want to alert the board that that situation exists, and we'll be working together to alleviate that before June 30th. So I'm happy to open it up to any questions, but that summarizes the monthly financial report.
Thank you, Carl. Any comments from our public before we have our board discuss? Okay, board members, any questions or comments on the March financials?
I just would say that I appreciate the concise report, and from my perspective, one of the things that would be very important is to have a special attention to making sure that, especially things like this responsibility to pay back loans and things like that, that we keep an eye on that. It's sometimes easy to let it fall by the wayside, et cetera. So I appreciate that being raised, and please keep us apprised.
Thank you.
If there are no other comments or questions, this is the end of tonight's agenda. If nothing else, Rabbi Belial, can you adjourn the meeting 9:32 p.m.?
If there are no objections and nobody wants to hold another discussion, I'll pause for a second in case I get interrupted. I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.